We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, Wednesday afternoon, halfway through the week, and we've got a little bit more of that beta thing to worry about, and then it is out of here. And you've heard Chris Franklin talk about how it looks like a strong cold front's going to come through here next Wednesday. So we're just going to creep into October with weather that actually feels like October. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. So Mayor Cantrell shut down Tracy's on Magazine. Very popular place to go and drink and eat and watch Monday Night Football. And apparently the crowd was out of control, according to the mayor, Monday night. And if the crowd was out of control, then she's right to shut Tracy's down. You got to follow the rules. However, if this is part of the mayor's over-aggressive campaign, then she wasn't right. So what is true? I don't know because I wasn't there. Also, Jefferson Parish met the criteria, and bars can open up in Jefferson Parish now to 25% capacity and a limit of 50 people. But, you know, that's better than nothing, right? So good news in Jefferson Parish. As of today, they've met the criteria for opening up, and they have opted in to open up. We've been talking about breaking news this afternoon, and that is Kentucky's Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, made the announcement that one of the three officers was charged in connection with the death of Breonna Taylor, not directly as a result of her death, but in connection with her death. Officer Brett Hankinson, who's a former Louisville police officer who fatally shot Breonna Taylor, was indicted by a grand jury on three counts of first-degree wanton endangerment. The other two officers were not charged. There's a lot about this case that we don't know, and I caution all of us to not be so sure that we know what happened and to not let this fit in the narrative of every other case like this, because every case is different. And if we learn the cops were wrong, then let's blame the cops. If we learn that they were right in what they did, then let's make sure we say that. So we can continue that conversation as well. Senator John Kennedy criticized Democrats for trying to pack the court with liberal justices. Senator Kennedy, I like the guy, but I disagree with a lot of the insanity that he spreads. Senator Kennedy said, shame on them. They ought to have their head in a bag. He's got a lot of, down-home sayings. I don't really know what they ought to have their head in a bag. I don't know what that really means. But he's criticizing the Democrats for thinking that justices are just politicians in robes. And I'm thinking, I can't think of a party that is more reflective of looking at justices as politicians in robes than the Republicans. The Democrats do it, too. But the Republicans, they've been hammering away at this. This is not Trump bashing. This is simply recognizing the truth. And the comments that are made about who should replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg clearly indicates that it's important that they have conservative political thinking justices, even more so than justices who care about the Supreme Court. Also, President Trump has always been critical of the media. And at his rallies, you know, he tries to rile up the people there by saying, look at them back there, look at the media back there. And then he says derogatory things about the media. So he loves the media giving him attention, but he also uses the media as a pinata to self-serve his rally when he's there. But when the president comes close to accepting the roughing up of reporters, and he's done this vicariously by supporting things that other people have done, like that guy in, was it Montana, I think, who the politician who roughed up that reporter, and President Trump, like, he supported that. Trump was praising the involvement of the National Guard in dealing with the violent protest in Minneapolis. But he also applauded violence by the big, strong police while talking about they grabbed him, they were grabbing them right and left. Sometimes they would grab one guy, I'm a reporter. They threw him aside like a little bag of popcorn. And he says, this was actually a beautiful sight. He says, because of all the crap that we've had to take for so long. If criticism of an administration by the media is going to lead to attacking journalists, then we're talking about a step toward totalitarianism. We're talking about a very dangerous leap toward undermining the democratic republic that we love and live in. It's okay to be upset with the media because they're not on your side. It is not okay to make it seem as if you're so persecuted that violence against the media is acceptable. Before I get to your calls, let's go to senior studio producer Ian Hook with a couple of your text messages.
It seems as though 45 is on a power trip, and he wants to control any and all variables that he may encounter, including the press. I saw that coming a long time ago with his continuous, quote-unquote, fake news outbursts. You're so right. It is a threat to our democracy.
It is. I mean, freedom of the press is like the foundation of this democracy that we have, the Democratic Republic, however you want to word it. I mean, people get real technical. We're not really a democracy. Okay, I get that. But it's a threat to our freedom because it is the media that holds politicians accountable locally and nationally. And generally speaking, the media does a good job. And for a president to want to physically shut down criticism, I mean, that fits right in with communism. That fits right in with socialism. That fits in with totalitarianism. Let's do another one, Ian.
When I read one of the stories involving the press and the police, the person from the press was refusing to obey an order from the police and said that press credentials allowed them to do so. Since when do press credentials allow a reporter to not obey a lawful order from the police?
Well, I agree with that, but it is the rhetoric of, you know, it's nice to see them getting roughed up because of the crap that we've had to take for so long. That's just not, it's not good coming from the President of the United States, because it riles up his people to the point where there's a lot of antagonism of the media for covering a Trump rally. Well, what if the media didn't cover the Trump rally? What if it was only Fox News? You think the president doesn't enjoy MSNBC and CNN and all the local media that are covering all of his rallies? You think he doesn't appreciate that? He does. What if they suddenly decided to stop doing that? But just the idea of even supporting another politician beating up a reporter. And in the case of the guy in Montana, that was not justified. And I believe the politician in Montana, I think he apologized to the reporter. And I don't remember what happened, but there was talk of assault charges against this guy. You might not like the job the media does, but they have a right to do their job. And you can decide what media you watch and what media you don't watch, but you don't have a right to have contempt that manifests itself in physical violence. Because that is not the America I know. And as a patriotic American, I will not always defend the media, but I personally think President Trump has gone too far in showing contempt for the media to the point where others are ready to join him. And physical violence against the media for doing its job is not the role of patriotic Americans. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with a comment, the Mortgage Financial Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And we'll be back on WWL. supporting the stifling of freedom of speech that you disagree with is a major step away from our freedoms. It's an attack on the Constitution. Before I get to your calls, I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. It was May 2017 when, in Montana, there was a race for the House of Representatives. The Republican candidate was Greg Schiaforte. And this was the first big competitive race since President Trump was inaugurated in January of 2017. A reporter for The Guardian, Ben Jacobs, was at the campaign headquarters of Schiaforte. And when he went to him and said, asked him about his plans for health care, Schiaforte grabbed Jacobs by the neck, threw him to the ground, and said, "I'm sick and tired of you guys." And Jacobs said, "You just body slammed me and broke my glasses." The campaign tried to blame Jacobs for the incident. The candidate was charged with a misdemeanor, assault, and he won the election, but pleaded guilty and received 40 hours of community service and 20 hours of anger management. President Trump said, not long after that, about this candidate, "Any guy that can body slam, that can do a body slam, is my kind of guy." And it just seemed like that was support of violence against a candidate. I mean, violence against the media. And the candidate pleaded guilty. So this is the kind of stuff that, man, I don't see how you can be a Trump supporter and support this kind of attack on the Constitution. This kind of attack on this very important thing that we have called freedom of press. And we have to be careful about how we support anybody that is so brazen as to publicly support or even subtly support violence against reporters because they don't like the media. And think about what this candidate, this Republican candidate in Montana said. "I'm sick and tired of you guys." And then President Trump talking the other day about how the reason that he was criticizing reporters and he was supporting the grabbing of reporters by the National Guard is because, you know, it's a beautiful sight because of all the crap that we've been taking for so long. What is the crap you've been taking for so long? Disagreement? So if we disagree, we get violent? Is that the new America we live in? From Hammond, George, thank you for hanging on. Welcome to WWL.
Yes. In reference to Breonna Taylor.
Okay.
I was listening to the DA when he spoke, and he said that the police, there may have been a no-knock warrant, but the police did not have a no-knock warrant when they were at the premises. Now, otherwise,
well, and apparently, according to what the I saw much of that too, and the DA said that that an independent witness from a couple apartments away testified to the grand jury that the police did announce they were going in.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they did not have the no-knock warrant in their possession, so they took it upon themselves to knock on the door. Now,
okay,
because no one answered, they break in the door. Now, what do you attribute that to? Probable cause? Probable cause because no one answered the door? If I knocked on your door and you didn't answer, do I have a right to just break it in?
Well, timing is a big factor here, George, because the other day, maintenance came into my apartment, and I have a long hallway. My apartment's not that big, but I have a long hallway from the living area to the door. And so I get a knock at the door, and I'm sitting behind my desk, so I move things aside. I get up. Before I got to my door, they're already coming in my apartment. So I don't know how much time was given after knocking. Did they knock only one time? And this is why I keep saying there's a lot about this we don't know.
Right, right. And what I'm saying is, to in reference to this, is that by them knocking on the door, then that's obvious that they had did not have a no-knock warrant, or otherwise they would not have knocked on the door. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Okay, so they knock on the door, no one answers. So they kick, they break the door in and enter the apartment, and shooting starts. I mean, now, do they have the privilege to take it upon themselves to do this, even though they, the warrant may have been issued, but they did not have it in their possession?
You know, I think that's why the officers were not charged with, like, manslaughter or second degree murder. I think that's why only one officer was charged with three counts of first degree wanton endangerment.
But they had no probable cause to break the door in if no one answered. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, maybe not. Again, I wasn't there, these are questions that we still have. You know, I mean, George, these are still questions that a lot of us have. I have a lot of questions about what really happened there, and it's so, you know, it's so much easier to just take a stance and say the cops were all wrong or the cops were all right, and you really can't do that in a case like this because there's things we don't know.
Right, and that's my question. It's not, you know, that's
it's a good
my
question.
Question about this.
It's a good question.
And that's all I have.
Well, George, I appreciate the call.
All right.
And from Gentilly, Justin, welcome to our show. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Scoot. I mean, this has been a great show. I mean, I've been hearing everybody talk. Now, the thing is, let me draw you a picture, and then I'm going to tell you why I'm drawing this picture.
I love that we draw pictures on the radio.
Well, anyway, say, for instance, you have a car or a bicycle or a motorcycle.
Okay.
And it's not working right. Well, you're going to bring it to me, the auto mechanic. Well, I can't find the solution until I find out what the problem is. Well, I know the problem, what's going on here, but I can't find a solution. So you have to keep your car in my shop until I find fix your car. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. I mean, I think I understand what you're saying. You're talking about, you're relating that to the case. It's a metaphor for the case.
I'm talking about the COVID. I'm talking about racial tension. I'm talking about everything. Now, I want to fix something. I mean, if I was God, I'd fix everything right now. But I'm
okay,
not.
So you define the problem using the metaphor of the car. You're defining the problem, but you don't know you don't know how to fix the problem yet.
I'm still working on your car. Let me check.
Yeah, I got it. It does.
Well, I think that, first of all, people stop hating each other. That's one thing. I don't care what color of skin you are. I don't hate anybody. But if you had a problem, just tell me what it is, and then from there I can find the solution to it.
Well, that's one of the problems, is that both sides define the problem differently. Both sides do not see the same problem. And so it's hard for people to work together to find a solution. If using the car metaphor again, it'd be like, well, let's bring the car in. One mechanic says this is the problem. Another mechanic says this is a problem. You can't figure out how to solve the problem until you really know what the problem is.
Well, I can come to agreement. Look, what I've had a coworker. I couldn't find the solution to a problem with the car, and he came up and he looked at it and he found the solution. And I said, "You're right. The car was out of there. I corrected the problem." So I think if we stop complaining about the problem and find a solution, I think we'll be okay.
Justin, I would agree, but we have to be willing to find the solution. I mean, to find the problem, to define the problem. We have to be willing to define the problem. And I don't think we're there yet. I wish we were. But, you know, I think we have as honest a conversation about race relations in America on this show as any show in the country. And yet we still can't agree on the problem. Sad note on our pop culture calendar. It was on this day, September 23rd, 1980, Bob Marley played his last concert in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Exodus is one of those albums that I can listen to from beginning to end and not even skip one of the tracks. Rolling Stone is out with their new list of the top 500 albums of all time. I'm really surprised at the top five. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow afternoon. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Police in Louisville have clashed with protesters in the streets of Louisville in the wake of the grand jury decision announcement to indict one of three police officers with what many consider to be a very light charge. There'll be a lot of talk about that tonight, and we'll have more talk about that tomorrow. And more people are going to want to talk about that tomorrow than today because, again, people are going to go to their social media sites. They're going to go to their political tribes, and they're going to get the talking points, and then they're going to regurgitate those talking points tomorrow. Watch and see. It'll happen. Let's get back to your calls. I'm Scoot, and from New Orleans, Larry, welcome to WWL.
Scoot, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Scoot, I heard you say something earlier about the mayor. You said when she speak of my people, you wonder if she's talking about you.
Yeah, it's true. Well,
Scoot,
that's what I feel.
Scoot, you know, I've wanted that for 50 years. When I hear the governor speak, when I hear the senators, even the president, when I hear the police, are they talking about me? Because it seems like I'm not included.
Mm-hmm.
I understand
the feeling. Yeah, I understand it.
It seems like I'm not included. This is why we came up with Black Lives Matter, because it seems like we weren't included.
Well, as you know, Larry, I've supported a lot of the people and the general concept of Black Lives Matter. That doesn't mean I support the originators or some of the groups that have infiltrated Black Lives Matter, but that'll be a topic for another show. But I understand, and you know, so I know how you feel, and you shouldn't feel like that, and I shouldn't feel like this.
The mayor has a very, very difficult job to do when she's trying to direct, oversee a lots of people. She damn if you do, you damn if you don't. If you close this place, if they violate, if they do this, it's such a difficult job, Stu, and everybody want her to do something different.
Well, that's part of the job.
Why don't we allow her to do what she's paid to do, and we do what we are supposed to do? If everybody do what they're supposed to do, everything will be all right.
All right, well, I'm doing what I'm paid to do, which is serve this audience.
Well, why don't we allow her, when it's time to open the city up, I'm sure she will. City's losing a lot of money, and she'll open the city up when there's time.
Larry, my criticism has been of the mayor's failure to communicate. Why? Why is the city at 1.3% positivity rate? Why did she say the data will dictate the decisions, and the data is not dictating the decisions? She may have a good reason to do what she's doing, but I don't know what that reason is. And in the meantime, that's the question that I'm asking. What's the reason?
Well, you know, communication can be the transmitter or the receiver. It can be
true.
Either one, and there's a lack of communication.
Agree. I can only speak from my perspective.
But I think the city will be open when there's time. We just try to support her as much as we can, and we'll be all right.
Larry, I appreciate your call. I have been, I think I've been very honest with the mayor. In fact, I said earlier that if the mayor shut down Tracy's because they were breaking the rules during Monday Night Football, Monday night during the Saints-Raiders game, then she did the right thing. If she was stretching the breaking of rules, then that was the wrong thing. But I support her if there was no social distancing and if people were at the bar when they were not supposed to be at the bar. We got to follow the rules. From New Orleans, Don, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. Yeah, I'm just calling, you know, about Breonna Taylor case. You know,
okay.
My suspicions were kind of aroused, you know, at the initial report from the police department, you know, that while she was riddled with bullets, there were no injuries. Now, I don't know if anybody has addressed that recently, but that kind of put you on edge, kind of leery of where the police were going with this.
You mean that if there had been crossfire, which apparently there was, that why didn't the police sustain any injuries?
No, the police reported that there were no injuries.
I see what you're saying. Ms. Taylor
was riddled with bullets.
Right. Well, we've known that there are police officers who lie to cover up. And it's important for us to talk about that to protect the police officers who are honest. And so I don't know what happened, but police officers that lie about what actually happened should be held accountable. And I'm sure that's going to come out in the trial.
Well, I certainly hope so. But from this initial grand jury deal and charges that came out today, it looks like they're going in the opposite direction.
Well, a lot of people have questions, but you know, I like what the district, Attorney General, I like what the Attorney General said today. I like that he said we went for the facts. We didn't go for a story to fit a narrative. And so often we try to bend a story to fit our narrative and we ignore the facts. And so what's important here are the facts. And it's sad that this needs to be pointed out, but it's important to point out that the Attorney General that made this announcement of the grand jury findings is African-American. And I hate that that is a factor, but it is a factor in all of these conversations that we have. So from his perspective and his understanding of Kentucky law, this is all they could come up with. Now, if Kentucky law needs to be changed, well, then that's the next step.
Well, you know, all I was saying is that, you know, everybody's suspicions had to be raised by that initial report.
Sure. You know? I guess they really were.
And you know, that just stands out, you know, that and makes you wonder whether the initial intention was to cover this up.
Well, we know that that happens, and that's wrong.
Yeah, it does.
And it's absolutely wrong. But, you know, I mean, if they tried to cover it up, and it seems like they did, well, then, you know, they should be held accountable for that. Don, I appreciate the call. Here's an email that says the problem with the mayor is that she said she would make her decision based on the data. The data has been great for New Orleans, and we should have reopened weeks ago. She's ruining the city, and it will take years to recover. Well, that's my question. It's not shutting down the city. It's why did you say one thing and then you do another thing? And I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, this is what I'm paid to do as a talk show host. I'm paid to notice these things. And I'm paid to bring this up because I serve the people of New Orleans, too. And so it's my job to bring up these inconsistencies. And as part of the media, it's part of my job to hold politicians accountable. And not let them just get away with anything. And I'm not an investigative reporter, investigative journalist. That's not, you know, that's not what I do. But there's aspects of being a talk show host that put you in a position to where you are serving the people of a market area. All right, so Rolling Stone magazine has come out with a new list. They did the first list in 2003, the second list in 2012, I think, or 13. And the new list is out 2020, the new list of the top 500 albums of all time. Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder is in the top five. Is it number one? We'll talk about this on the show tomorrow. And what album is number one if it's not Songs in the Key of Life? We'll talk about some music and pop culture on the show tomorrow and some of the top albums on Rolling Stone magazine's list. I'm Scooch. We'll be back on WWL. I thought we would end the show with this uplifting song from George Strait. I hate everything. I mean, really, you know, I mean, it just it seems like there are a lot of people out there that just hate everything. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby and Christian Garrett. Can the Saints bounce back after an embarrassing loss They'll be against the Packers this week. I'll talk about that coming up at 4 o'clock. All right, we've got time for a quick call. Let's go to Covington. And Carl, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, how's it going? I was just on the Brianna thing. I mean, the guy that delivered the message to the people about the investigation, I mean, they had multiple investigations. They've been investigating this thing for months. So what he said was he couldn't try to stand there and say, well, because these people are going to riot and burn stuff down, I got to say it the other way. You know, the man said he did an investigation. That's the way the investigation came up. I mean, and he asked people not to do what they're doing, but they're doing it anyway. He could have said anything. No matter what they would have said, the results would be the same. If he would say they convicted the guy, they'd still be protesting.
Well, I mean, I think there's such a propensity to want to, on the part of some people, to want to take to the streets and riot. I think there's some truth in that. I mean, it's sad, but you know, there's truth in that. I mean, there are people who want to riot. There are people who want to create turmoil, and there are activists who want to take part in these movements, and they want to hijack these movements for their own cause. So yeah, there's some vicious people out there, but you know, that needs to be handled, and it needs to be handled in the right way, whatever that is. Entercom presents I'm Listening. It's a 2-hour conversation about mental health at a time when our collective mental health is being challenged by the daily news. John Bon Jovi, Katy Perry, DJ Khalid are going to be a part of that. So that's coming up right after an abbreviated version of Sports Talk. That's 6 to 8 tonight on WWL, AMFM, and radio.com. Hey, you can join me for an extension of this radio show on social media, Scoot on the Air Instagram, Scoot on the Air Facebook. And I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manassas, and our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. There's a video on WWL Radio Facebook about President Trump's contempt for the media. You can become part of that conversation, whether you agree with me or not, by going to WWL Radio on Facebook. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.